Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Breakdown. My name is Andrea Montenegro, and with me is my co-host, Dambi Shaw.
Hi, everyone. We're so glad to be back on the air again. And, you know, speaking to all of you, but more importantly, we're excited to be joined by Women in Politics, amazing co-executive directors today. We're here with Catherine Brunov and Rebecca Joseph. They're together, so they're filming on with us on one account. They're next to each other physically right now, and it's very exciting. I feel like it's like a great leap forward in the times of COVID. So Rebecca, Catherine, just introduce yourselves, what you do here at WEP. For those of you that have not watched our Christmas episode where they had a bake-off, go watch that right now. Highly recommend. You'll learn a lot of interesting facts about them. And you'll learn even more today. So go check that out and then come back and watch this one.
Yeah, definitely. I think you should. This is Rebecca, by the way. You should definitely watch the bake-off where I win.
I think that's debatable. My sugar cookies were pretty good, Catherine here. But I think overall we're just super excited to be in one place in one moment of time. Literally, it's been, you know, in the making for a very long time.
I think we brought it up last May when we accidentally planned. May 2020, when we like first started WIP, somehow we accidentally planned an in-person dinner for June 7th. And for those of you who don't know, I live in California. Catherine lives in Pennsylvania. So like opposite ends of the country. Don't know how we planned that dinner.
I don't know how we planned that dinner, but I was like inputting something into my calendar and I was inputting Rebecca's name. I think it was like we had a meeting we were having or something. And it came up that I had a dinner with Rebecca on June 7th, 2021. So now we're here a little bit later. It is July 15th as we're filming this. So it's a little bit delayed,
but it all worked out
in the end. You know, COVID still, you know, put a little bit of a dent in our plans originally, but
we all got vaccinated
yeah. overall, and we're all happy and together now. So yeah.
No, this is genuinely so exciting. And for like our audience that don't know, everybody at WIP is genuinely like friends. So this is so exciting to see, like, because I've seen your friendship and how you're like dynamic. I'm like fangirling right now. I love seeing your stories, like what y'all are doing. I'm like your biggest fan. This trip is like having the Nickelodeon and Disney crossover. Honestly, I had like this conspiracy that you and Rebecca were actually one person.
I met like Catherine's friends yesterday, actually at her birthday party. She's 18 now, but I think multiple people were like, you and Catherine are the same people.
We're not the same people particularly. I think we're different halves of the same person. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of how it works. Like we're polar opposites, but of the same person. And we literally have like, I don't know, we have like
it works so well. It really shouldn't, because I'm very organized. Catherine's
Not disorganized, but I'm very much more of like a free flowing, like kind of as the tide moves kind of person. And no offense, you're kind of She's the one moving the tide. Yeah. So a lot of people will be like, oh my God, you guys are really different, but at the same time, so similar. So I think the conspiracy theory has been, you know,
I think we found our other half.
We found our other half. So
Twin flames. I'm so happy for you guys.
That's so sweet. I love it.
All right, Dambi. I guess we should explain the concept of this, because last time we had our baking contest, I can tell you guys it's probably not going to be as exciting as our baking contest, but, you know, we're making ends meet. I'm currently in Houston. I'm in a hotel. I don't know if this y'all are going to have a visual component to this episode. Hopefully you will, but I'm in a hotel, so we couldn't do anything super elaborate, but we're going to have a Q&A segment very similar to like what we did while Catherine and Rebecca were baking last time. And then we're gonna have a little fun segment at the end. I've kind of kept it a mystery, but Catherine, of course, figured it out the second that I sent her the text. I wanted to do like who knows each other best. So I sent Catherine and Rebecca the same set of questions. I was like, get these back to me 2 days before filming. And the only rule is to not tell the other person. And Catherine immediately was like, oh, so you want me and Rebecca to answer these secretly separate from each other for the filming? That's super cute. And I was like, girl.
It was so mysterious to me. Like, I think I had an inkling, But I was like playing it really well. Like we were in DC and I was like, I have no idea what we're doing for the podcast. I was playing it up. I was like, I have no clue what's happening.
I think she was trying to get it out of me.
Yeah. I was trying to see if you, how much Catherine knew, because I was like very confused because you were like, it's a birthday surprise. And I was like, what? Like questions about me?
Just to preface a little bit, Catherine and Rebecca are two of the most politically accomplished teenagers, young adults that I know. Catherine also just graduated high school. She's currently a freshman at American. Rebecca is a junior in high school from Walnut Creek, California. So just that much means a lot to Andrea and I. And like probably young girls that follow women in politics. You guys are truly inspirations. It's very cool to see young women making their way up, you know, starting a whole nonprofit, you know, not that that means anything. Whoa. It's just really cool.
Just a regular nonprofit.
No biggie, just a whole nonprofit.
I do that on a regular Tuesday afternoon.
Okay, so just to follow my little preface from a couple minutes ago, you guys are super accomplished, and you accomplished most of this in high school or grade school, right? And we also know you guys are both very intelligent women. Your curriculum is loaded. You guys both do like extracurriculars and stuff. How do you manage your political aspirations, women in politics, and your extracurriculars with your schoolwork and just whatever else you do?
Oh my gosh, that's such a loaded question that I think we've gotten multiple times. But I think both of us can attest that we don't have a perfect work-life balance at all.
I think the first step is just accept that it's going to be a little hard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And like allow yourself to feel that it's going to be hard. I feel like if you try so hard for it to be like, oh my gosh, I'm having fun waking up, you know, really early and going to sleep really late and it's just great. And, you know, like, just allow yourself to feel some sort of pain. I know this.
I think it creates, you know, too high of an expectation that everything's going to be like fantastic and peachy.
And allow your emotions to actually show through. Like you don't have to be having a dandy time every single waking second of every single day. And then obviously the more practical advice, which I've gotten Catherine kind of hooked on, is having a Google calendar, and also not just having a Google calendar to like put in like work time, but also like taking breaks and having fun with people. I know especially like sophomore year, like I just finished my sophomore year, and obviously COVID played a role in this, but I never like either hung out with friends or Zoomed with friends as often as I did freshman year, just because like I, you know, Women in Politics, Youth Commission, a bunch of other extracurriculars came up and I was like so focused on this and I love doing it, but I was just like, you know, not taking time for myself. But as the year got on, I started like putting in time just to have fun. And that, I think that helped with like productivity a lot, just because I was taking a break from just like straight up working 24/7.
But even to attest to what Rebecca just said about like breaking, like taking, not breaking, but taking breaks.
don't break your bones.
Yeah, definitely don't recommend. although I have not broken any bones. That's a fun fact for the podcast. Just to attest to that like statement, we actually were so busy and we tried like, because we've never, like I said, this is like the first time we're in one space. We were always like working, and all of our like, you kind of, our friendship built off of just like working, which is great and all. But we never were able to really like put in even time for like our friendship. And when we did, literally everything always fell apart. We tried to watch a movie once.
Oh my gosh.
And literally like every, like that whole entire day was a disaster.
It ended with me crying that day. If anyone
it was awful. We were like, you know what? We're just going to stick to hoping this happens in person. So, but even then, like try to plan out, you know, times to have fun with friends and, you know, even just having fun with work friends. I think we've had the best time like after meetings with Women in Politics team members and just like talking about our lives and debriefing you know, mentally. So I think that's probably like one of my favorite moments on WIP.
Meeting people.
Yeah, people.
It's so hard to gauge how fast you're working. I think, or not how fast, but how much you're working.
And how fast paced it is.
And how, like, because everyone has such different lives and such. So I'm like finding myself comparing, this is like, I guess, imposter syndrome too, with like who I'm working with, who I'm dealing with. Like we're all in different stages of life. Like the amount of work you're putting in doesn't have to be this, or shouldn't be the same yeah. with other people, and you don't have to compare or compete with other people or work, you know, like ruin yourself, your body, your mental health, whatever it is, to measure up. And that's something that definitely
has. I feel like we've both learned from each other from that, like even from like the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, me and Catherine, again, like, we live very, very different lives.
Yeah.
Like, we are
That really goes into the whole, like, polar opposite, but also we're, like, in kind of, like, different stages of our life, because you're still in high school, mm-hmm. I'm going into college, so it's, like, it's different, and that probably, I feel like that's where we bring in, like, the best parts of both worlds to Women in Politics also. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I love that. I love that you guys said that it's important to carve out time for yourself, because I know, like, a lot of people want others to think that, like, politics is their whole life, you know, like they spent their whole life just literally caring about what's going on. And that's not possible. Like, I know, like, a lot of people face burnout from it too. So when you're in your free time, like, what kind of hobbies have you guys discovered for yourself? Like, what do you like to do?
Catherine knows this one, actually.
I think I can answer for Rebecca. Rebecca's is definitely cooking and baking. We joke all the time that she stress bakes.
I think one time
for like Women in Politics,
we literally had a magazine coming out. I think this was a while ago, and it was like not going well. And I was, she calls me, she's like, and I'm making banana bread, right? This is like 11 p.m. on a Friday night. I'm like, I know the magazine's going well. Let me just finish this up. I'm
yeah,
done bad.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm like sitting at my computer, like cranking out stuff, like trying to make ends meet. And she's just out here making banana bread. And I was like, Rebecca, you're so much help. Like, but she is very helpful, actually. But
I'm not always making banana bread. But I do find, like, I'm so obsessed with the Great British Baking Show and like Food Network and all that kind of stuff. So I learned, like, especially when I was younger. So I cook for my family, I cook for my church.
Rebecca still hasn't cooked for myself. I'm a little offended, but we have been like traveling around the past like 3 days, like nonstop. Like, this is probably like the first morning that's been like very
relaxed
and chill. And today's like our chill day. So I think we might get to that hopefully sometime in the next couple days. But that's a fun fact that Rebecca still hasn't cooked for her favorite co-executive.
And only
co-executive.
And Catherine, you didn't answer.
Oh my gosh, what are my hobbies? My hobbies, I guess, like, right now, skating's a hobby. I don't know if people remember, or, you know, just to preface, you know, bring back this fact, I was a competitive figure skater before politics became a big part of my life. So, you know, as I go into, you know, college and, you know, like I said, politics does become obviously a bigger aspect of my life, as it has in the past like couple years. I've been, you know, stepping down from competitive skating, and it's kind of become more of like, you know, a hobby, and it's definitely a great de-stressor. I go pretty much every morning. I haven't gone this week, but I usually go almost every morning. And I've been in the figure skating world, you have to take like kind of like, you take tests for school, we take tests for figure skating. So I've been kind of finishing those off as a way to kind of you know, put my achievements on paper. So that's been a fun way to just, you know, take time for myself. It's also a way I stay physically active, because that's what I've been doing my entire life. I like working out, but sometimes I just forget to carve out time for yourself. So this is something that I just do every day. I have a schedule for it, and it, you know, it's just a good way for me to be like, oh, I'm doing something for myself. This is something I really, really love. So yeah, that's probably my main thing. I also really like graphic design, but I mostly do that for Women in Politics. So I don't know how much of a hobby that is, but I definitely honestly in the future want to do that for, you know, other companies. I've thought of freelancing possibly.
Very exciting. Love that for you.
This is really, really cool. But as you said, you're going off to college and you're going to American. So you're going to be a big girl in Washington. And that's going to be awesome. I know, like, one day I'm going to be voting for one of you for something. I don't know. It's going to be very fun for me, though. But, like,
against each other.
Hopefully none of us are running against each other. That is my biggest hope in the entire world.
Yeah.
But imagine how awesome it would be to have, like, multiple women from Women in Politics running on a ballot together. Like, imagine.
That would be amazing.
That would be
a surreal moment, to be quite honest.
It's like, for us,
even if, you know, I don't think, like, as much as we joke about women in politics being forever, which, you know, hashtag with forever, obviously. but obviously, I think this will come to a close someday, or, you know, someone else will take someone it over, yeah, in a different format, I even think. But I definitely think the mission will stay the same.
As we progress, it'll change.
Obviously. It'll change.
Like, right now, it's in the midst of, like, changing up. So I guess we'll see.
We'll see what happens. But even when we're older and, like, we're adults, I think something like this will exist. I don't think exactly, like, you know, women in politics particularly. But I think this is an organization that will stay for ages, just in different forms and under different leadership in different ways. And it'll be interesting in the future to be, like, you know, as Rebecca's, like, the founder and, you know, myself being the co-executive with her, it'll be interesting to see, like, our kind of organization take on a different format, and people that used to be in the organization from the very beginning go in and take Women in Politics experience in, you know, connections and, yeah, you know, memories with them onto other greater things, either it be in the political sphere or honestly just in life, because we have people that aren't, you know, planning on going into, you know, politics particularly, like, directly in, like, running for something or mm-hmm. some of that sort.
Yeah,
I think,
go ahead.
Women in Politics is a lot of things. You know, it's a parent company to, like, a magazine, like, and then, like, a blog, and a podcast. But more than anything, it's like a community. I've made so many friends through Women in Politics. You guys, all of you. But I feel like if I go somewhere, or, like, if I need, like, a connection to any company, I feel like I can find that in Women in Politics. And I love the support of women. It's so exciting to see, like, that kind of support in the political sphere, because it's not common. Like, most women who have worked in politics will tell you that it's often, like, women against women. We're supposed to be lifting each other up, but it can get so competitive because there's limited spots up there for us. But basically, you're an American and you're gonna be in Washington, D.C. So what do you plan on doing? So your major and just, like, any extracurriculars that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, of course. Oh my gosh, this is so crazy. I get to actually, like, you know, put this out into the world. I know a lot of close friends of mine know exactly what I'm doing, but it's exciting to tell, you know, the world. So first off, you know, not a big surprise here, but American University, it's in DC. So I'm going to be going for a political science major, hopefully with the approval of my advisors, which has been, you know, a little bit of a tough thing with, you know, COVID and still doing orientation online and whatnot. But hopefully with their approval, I'll be doing a minor in international relations. Americans very well known for their School of International Service, SIS. And so I'm very excited to hopefully be doing a minor there. And then if people don't know this about me, but I am bilingual. So I speak Russian in my family because my parents are immigrants from the Soviet Union. And so I was planning on using my Russian knowledge and expanding it further in the form of a translation certificate. So hopefully I will be able to use that in the future. I think it will be useful. I don't know exactly, like I said, I'm getting a political science degree with a minor in international service. So it kind of depends on what realm I go into, but it might be useful. And I just wanted to, you know, I've, you know, conversed in Russian. So I just want to make sure that my conversational is, you know, a game. So, but those are plans for, like, education wise. I'm definitely very excited for, like, the extracurriculars. Obviously the internships in DC are just amazing. They are quite competitive because obviously, you know, that's literally why people go to school there. And there's also, you know, study abroad programs from different colleges in the US that also, you know, go into the internship pool. But overall, I'm very excited for that. I'm hopefully going to be able to intern for my representative, Mary Scanlon. She's amazing. I've had the chance to work with her directly, kind of indirectly, kind of through my state senator who I campaigned for in the past, which I think Donvi will probably touch on sometime during this podcast. And also just, like, clubs and stuff on campus. I know I definitely want, I think there is something similar to Women in Politics on the American campus as well. I haven't exactly gotten into it. And I also, because I was homeschooled, which is another fun fact for the podcast, I definitely want to do something like student government related because I never got the chance to do that in high school. And I heard that it's pretty, it's a pretty nice community at American, and they do a very good job of leading the student body. So I definitely would like to be a part of that if I get the chance.
No, I'm glad that you guys, like, brought up homeschooling. Well, I mean, Catherine, you've been, like, officially homeschooled. Like, you've done school online since I think you said sixth grade. Rebecca, your experience is a little bit different. You started high school like in COVID, you know, so most of your high school experience has like been like at home, you know, because like during the pandemic you did a lot of virtual learning too, so you didn't really go to physical school, as you've been saying. How did that impact you guys, like, politically, you know, because you can't really do clubs the same way when you're virtual. Like, you can't get involved the same way. Like, you can't go out and scout people. How did that impact you guys?
So I was a freshman in 2019. So I did end up going to high school, like, for a bit. And I, you know, obviously I love to talk to people. I love to meet with people. So the clubs I was in, as they, like, especially, like, speech and debate, diversify our narrative, like, those, like, very much, like, people-oriented clubs, when they transitioned to, like, online stuff, it was very, very hard to talk with people. And I felt like it was just, like, people didn't either want to respond, or, like, Zoom meetings were awkward. Especially, like, even, like, scheduling, like, fun times, where it was very hard because people didn't know each other. And they were like, I mean, it's on Zoom. I'm always on Zoom. Is it really going to be fun? Yeah, which we're having a blast right now. So I think Zoom fun things can be fun. But I think that's definitely been hard to try and figure out how to navigate the Zoom world and how to still, like, make connections and be friends and get work done. I think Catherine's a lot more experienced with that than I am, especially because, like, as Dami said, I've gone to a quote unquote normal public school my whole life. So very used to the in-person stuff and just, like, being and having that, like, in-person class culture.
I think going off of what Rebecca just said, I think for all the students, including herself and you guys, I think also had to experience, you know, going from in-person school to the online format, meshing, you know, your real life onto Zoom was very, very difficult. I didn't really experience that because I, you know, when I left school, I kind of left that entire experience and just, you know, moved on. There are definitely times where I'm like, oh, what if I had stayed in school? But that's, you know, a normal, you know, experience, I think, for everyone to, you know, ask what if questions here and again. But I don't think I think I've been able to give you a lot of, you know, like, advice on how to navigate online school. And I think I think benefited from having online school for WIP purposes.
Oh yeah.
Like we just mentioned. Sure. But
WIP, when I started school in like early August. So that was like roughly two to three months actually since WIP started. I don't think we were in a position where I could have been in school full time. Yeah. And then like I also play sports as well. Not as competitive as Catherine, but they do they are 3 hour practices right after school.
So yeah, it wouldn't have worked.
And then with clubs, like, as bad as COVID,
I think essentially maintaining all of that together wouldn't have worked for women so, in politics. Like, but overall, going back to the homeschooling point and, like, politics and whatnot, it definitely is different because I never had that club aspect of school. And although my school tried to do clubs, it was just definitely, like, not the, you know, same. But, like, honestly, I think online school gave me more of, like, I need to find opportunities myself. I've definitely found that, like, I needed to, you know, research. I needed to email and contact. I needed to, you know, just spread the word out that I existed, that I was a person that was interested, and make myself available to different things that I wanted to be a part of, and just hope for the best and try my best. And that's honestly what homeschooling has, you know, taught me, because you're not in that environment that provides opportunities for you. So that's probably also something that's helped with women in politics as well.
Yeah. Outreach
is definitely, yeah, it's definitely super important. Oh my gosh.
I think Andrea and I talked about this a little bit last episode, but basically one of her biggest pet peeves is Instagram nonprofits. And I want to say women in politics is the exact opposite of those. You guys have done genuinely so much. And COVID gave way to a lot of, like, Instagram nonprofits that haven't really done anything aside from, like, have an executive board and then posting two things on Instagram. But y'all are, like, genuinely awesome.
I, like, again, as great as Catherine and I are, and you guys as well, as a whole, like, I couldn't produce a magazine by myself. I couldn't write a book by myself. I couldn't do
not half, I couldn't do any of the things that WIP is doing right now by myself. So it was really just a blessing that that TikTok got out, that Nick the Tutor reposted that TikTok. It went viral. Y'all saw it. Donna, you saw it off of Instagram, but the majority of the team, like,
and so also the team being driven, the team being driven, bringing ideas to the table, and always like being super supportive of the ideas that we come and bring to the table, and being like jumping on opportunities and being like, we want to be more involved. This is something that we're super interested in. Like always being there and being supportive is literally the backbone of Women in Politics. So I think the reason we have so much, you know, have done so much and have like actually progressed and brought change is because the team has been behind it, and they literally embody that in our mission.
It's not just WIP's mission, it's our mission.
It's
our mission now.
I love that. But you guys are like, as you said, you guys have a lot of things planned. One of the things you kind of just like glazed over, but I wanted to discuss anyway, was the book. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, what you guys are going to do with that, what the idea is? Just go on.
From the beginning.
Start from the beginning.
I think the whole purpose of WIP really stemmed off of my experience going into politics. As many people know, I wasn't interested in politics at all until I joined my speech and debate team at my high school freshman year. And that was really because politics wasn't a tangible career path. Nobody told me I could know. I never saw people going into that, especially as a woman. And the whole point of Women in Politics was to get more girls to, hey, I can do that. Like, that's something that's available and accessible to me. And we wanted to branch our mission out to more younger kids, because obviously, although I do know that there are a few people who lie about their age on Instagram, I'm quite certain that there aren't a bunch of like 7 and 8 year olds on Instagram, you know, reading our magazine and going through our
feed. I also think that this was also kind of a, you know, trying to get rid of the technological barrier and being and reaching people that aren't on social media or aren't maybe even particularly searching for Women in Politics, because it is quite hard to find something unless you're searching for it. So we've definitely tried to, you know, reach other people with like advertising or, you know, getting out onto other accounts and different, you know, parts of the social media world. Realm. But it's hard to break that barrier if they're not on social media or they're not really searching for it. So the book is kind of just like, you can hold it. You can give it to people. You can affect people that aren't in your literal like bubble. So that was definitely where that came from, because we wanted to just affect people that weren't directly near us and we couldn't directly contact. And so, and also just young and honestly, kids.
It's really
the idea stemmed from like, where do you get your biggest dreams and aspirations? And I remember, I think most kids, when you were in elementary school, they would be like, oh, I want to be an astronaut because I've seen, you know, this, you know, show, or I want to be a firefighter because I read this book, or, you know, something like that. But I've never heard, other than president, just because, you know, that's a big figure.
And even the presidential books, like I bring this up all the time, but the Who Was series, like I read those as kids, but those were all male presidents, obviously. But that's like, I mean, even though I wasn't like consciously being told that, hey, you can't be president, or there's never go into the political sphere, I was subconsciously understanding like, hey, this is their area, and I can stay over here and just like, you know, watch.
Exactly. So we were like, we want to inspire kids and show them that like, this is literally something that you can aspire to be from an early age, just like you wanted to be an astronaut or a firefighter or, you know, a scientist or literally
this
anything.
An exclusive like field.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you need to teach kids early. And even if they don't end up, you know, aspiring to be a politician, they're going to know more about the government and how it functions, other than just thinking that the president is the head of everything. Because I remember writing letters to Obama when I was in first grade, it was just regular. We were just writing letters to Obama. And I remember most of the kids, or including myself, just thought he was like the only person that existed in our government. Like, it was just Obama.
I think that's a big problem with our education system, which we can go on and on about. But I personally, as a rising junior, have not taken a sufficient U.S. history course. I think I took one in eighth grade. But I have not learned, like all the government stuff that I've learned is either one for speech and debate to, you know, obviously to debate people, or from Women in Politics, or just from my own experience, which is great and all. But for the people who aren't politically active, and even I myself, I don't know everything about the government.
Yeah, there like, all there have been instances, even writing this book, where we've had to obviously, you know, simplify complicated concepts for, you know, children to understand, which is already hard. But literally, even when we were simplifying it, we realized that, you know, like teachers aren't particularly going to be able to, you know, comprehend this because sometimes it's been, you know, hard for the education system to catch up. So, yeah. But yeah, we're just super excited for the books to come out and just, you know, hopefully do like readings or stuff like that and actually talk to kids.
Our point is, just to wrap up this question, because I know we've gone on a little bit of a tangent on the book, but the goal is to get it out September 1st. We have a few schools lined up who are interested in purchasing it for like a whole one school one book where the whole school reads the book and there's like a curriculum attached to this and all this kind of fun stuff for the teachers, maybe not so much for the kids in terms of the curriculum, but the book is great.
We're very excited, also very proud of everyone that's been involved, and super excited writers, for you guys too.
Designers. Andrea's our graphic designer, actually.
One of them.
She's currently working on the layouts of the book, which is a little bit stressful, but
But also surreal. Like, I can't imagine that we're gonna actually see an entire like printed book. Like we've literally been talking about this like a couple times, even like during this time of being like, oh my gosh, we're gonna
be
able to
like I can hold and I can
touch. Like I said, you can hold this, you can physically like feel this. It's going to be real because we've been working. We were on a FaceTime call when this idea created itself, like. It was created during a FaceTime call
Christmas Eve.
It was a very interesting night. It was
super fun. Anyway, so let's do this fun little, there always has to be a competitive element in my
I'm nervous. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so we're gonna go like progressive levels. They're kind of supposed to be like getting harder and harder as you go, but I don't really know, y'all are probably gonna be fine. And obviously, okay, so I'll ask a question and then Catherine, you're going to answer with what you think Rebecca's answer is. And Rebecca, you're going to answer with what you think Catherine's answer is. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I think I'll go first for this first round. I'll answer first and then Rebecca will answer.
Okay. So when is Rebecca's birthday?
It is October 6th.
Okay. And what is her favorite color?
Her favorite color is a like kind of a pale light yellow. Not pale. That sounded bad, but like a light yellow.
Like a pastel.
Yeah, like a pastel yellow.
I'm confirming her answer, guys. Like this is my phone case. This is my phone.
She's wearing a really bright green, yellow. She's wearing like a bright greenish yellow, but it's pretty much her favorite color. Yeah.
Okay. And what is her middle name?
This is a fun fact. Rebecca does not have a middle name.
Interesting. That could be a good
reward. I feel like get out of my Zoom room right now.
When is Catherine's? You can answer all the questions in Catherine's side. So when is her birthday, her favorite color, and her middle name?
I think
she might have a hard time with my birthday.
I don't know if it was either August or I'm joking. It's July 14th. It was yesterday. I don't know when this podcast is coming out, but we're filming July 15th. Yeah. So it was yesterday. Happy
belated again.
Her favorite color is red.
I'm not wearing red, and I used to have a red phone case, but it kind of died. So if anyone wants to buy me a red phone case again,
belated birthday present.
Yeah, I think you already got me enough. But
Catherine, you need to drop the Cash App for our audience to give you.
you can donate to our GoFundMe.
You can. Yeah.
I'm joking. Those are WIP funds. We're not.
No money laundering here.
No, we promise. Embezzling from WIP. And then what was the middle. Oh yeah, Catherine also does not have a middle name.
Middle name twins. It was actually quite funny for us to find that out.
I don't even know how we found out about it because it's not something
I think it was around. Like we were just like randomly asking each other stuff because I think it was like during interviews or something. It was like a time like between meetings where we had nothing to do and we were just like so bored and we started asking each other questions and it was quite. That's literally what we do during meetings. If anyone was curious of what Rebecca and I are up to, we're not up to anything interesting.
But yeah.
Okay. You have both successfully passed level one with perfect scores. Acing this exam. Okay. I'm gonna switch it up. You guys, I'm gonna be like changing the questions that we had, still with the answers, but we're going out of order now, just in case y'all discuss this formally without me.
Okay.
No.
No, but I'm
too fast.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Okay. So what is Rebecca's favorite food?
Okay. This one's actually kind of easy. This one's really easy. This one's sushi.
Like, I talk about it all the time.
She literally talks about it all the time. She literally made sushi on FaceTime with me once.
We did a Thanksgiving potluck and I brought sushi.
Really the weirdest food to bring too. Like, I mean, yeah like, I don't know.
I mean, it was virtual, so only I was eating sushi, but like, I made sushi.
I was going to say, like, you bring sushi to some like event, that seems like a very weird food choice.
No, but I met people yesterday and I was like, my favorite food is sushi. What you wanted to know.
Okay, and what is Catherine's?
This one's hard,
because really I don't talk about it a lot. I did make it on FaceTime with you once, just to give her a hint.
Is it? I know, I'm just going to put something out here, but Catherine eats warm cereal every morning.
Stop! You didn't have to put me on blast like that.
I think that's a little
like, the milk is warm?
Food, I know, yes. It's not your favorite food, but I just...
Yes, I can't drink cold milk. I absolutely hate cold milk.
Andrea has like fear in her eyes right now.
She does. She's a little like, I don't know.
I'm a little right worried now. Here. Yeah, I'm a little concerned.
Okay, your favorite food. I know it's some sort of pasta dish, some sort of...
It's in the pasta realm.
I want to get... I know you made Russian pancakes once that looked really good.
Russian pancakes are my second favorite food. So she's really close. It is an ethnic food. I will give the answer. It is Russian dumplings. They're called pelmeni, uh-huh. And they're really easy to make. You can buy them literally just frozen from the grocery store. But obviously my mother's are, you know, the best. She makes them from scratch, like dough and meat and all of that.
I remember this.
But I was literally on FaceTime and I don't think I had any food in my fridge, and that was the only thing in my freezer, and I was like, I'm gonna make these, and you were like, what are those? So fun fact, if anyone has like a Russian or European grocery store near them, they're the easiest food to make, I swear. Like, and they're very cheap, so
I'm gonna buy some right now.
They're really great. If you do have like, again, like a grocery store that, you know, has them, they're amazing.
And okay, I think this one's gonna be harder. What is the activist movement that you both identify with the most? Okay, I think this one's a hard one.
Okay, I think
you know this one too. I
know it's something woman related.
I feel like that's easy. But like,
I think Catherine's is easier than Rebecca's on this one.
But mine, but there's a second aspect to it. You literally went women,
it's,
yeah. Like,
it's, well, yeah. I don't think it's voting. Like, I don't think it's voting.
It's literally like, think whip mission. That's like, think the literal like,
woman getting elected.
No, you're close. Think like our mission statement.
Equality in politics?
No, it's the Equal Rights Amendment.
Oh, okay, we're talking about like, okay,
but that's like a movement.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. She would have guessed. I feel like if I would have made it more clear to you, you would have guessed it. But
you're not gonna guess.
No, I don't think I will.
I don't think she will either. I mean, I think you will understand once I say it.
I don't think I even have a guess, because if it's not feminism or
it's not woman. I mean,
like, if it's not woman related,
women are included in it, but it's not like directly woman.
My second guess would be like civil rights, but I don't think it's civil rights. Civil rights are super important.
it's just the whole equal education.
How did I not guess that?
Yeah, that's why I was like, everything I do is education related.
Yeah, you're so driven with education. That's so, why didn't that? Wow.
I know. I was like, I know you're not going to guess it, but like, I know that.
That's so weird. I should have guessed that. That was so like weird that I didn't. So I was actually, the reason I'm very, you know, driven for the Equal Rights Amendment, if people, you know, obviously people don't know, I was supposed to, right before COVID hit, do a mock trial at Princeton with a really good close friend of mine from my AP US government class. She was the only person in my class. It was literally the two of us in our AP class. Quite fun. We had a blast. And literally COVID hit, and we weren't able to go and do the mock trial case. And it was all about the Equal Rights Amendment. And we had a ton of fun like dissecting that. And we were also kind of both from different sides of the aisle. I was more on the liberal side and she was more on like the moderate, moderate end of the spectrum. So it was quite interesting to, you know, debate that. And there's obviously a specific instance in mock trial cases and different, you know, intricacies to the situation. So it was very fun. And we had a lot, and I was very bummed that we weren't able to do that. So that's kind of where my love for the Equal Rights Amendment has stemmed from.
Really cool. Love that. Okay. Moving forward. Oh, I like this question. I'm so smart. I came up with this question on the spot.
Andrea's questions were spicy.
They were. There are definitely a few that I know for a fact I don't have a clue about.
Yeah.
Okay. So what politician? Oh.
Well, anyways, we probably cut out the previous part, but to preface, Andrea gasped and unfortunately her computer died and she cut out and had to and left the Zoom room. But she is back with us on her phone, looking beautiful as ever. Oh, and ready to continue our competition.
Yes. Here goes the next question. I hope y'all are ready. That was so funny. I can't.
I think the gas made it so funny.
Yeah, the gas was definitely a highlight.
I should have just plugged it in. But if you could bring one politician to a stranded island, only one, who would it be?
You can guess mine really easily. No one on this podcast would guess who mine is people listening to this. It's not someone well known particularly, but it's someone
you've mentioned. I think someone on this pod could.
Yeah. I mean, he was mentioned on this podcast. Yeah. He was mentioned on this podcast like literally while we were speaking today.
Oh, okay. So I've narrowed it down a little bit. I think it's John Cain.
It is John Cain. Okay. I would take John Cain.
I was going to go for...
I don't think it's a very practical choice. No offense to John Cain. I love my state senator, if anyone, you know, missed that section in before when we were talking about him. I campaigned for him. He's now my state senator. And he's literally just the most, like, lovable guy. He used to be a plumbers union director. And I just think that also he actually, you know, thinking about it now, he would be helpful. He's literally a working guy. Like, he literally wears working boots. Like, come on. I think.
I don't know if he'll be on the beach, but I think.
He's like making a round.
An island wearing working boots?
Well, not working boots, but like he knows how to like make a fire or something.
I was joking about the boots, but now I got what you're saying.
But yeah, I guess he is a practical mm-hmm. choice.
Mine was more of just my own personal enjoyment.
Yours would keep you sane, I think. Like, you wouldn't have like to put a face on a volleyball, you know, to like keep yourself company.
Is there any hint that I could get? Because I mean, is it the obvious or it's not the obvious? Because the obvious one, we know what I would guess.
Wait.
It's not Ted Cruz.
No. I know you didn't do it ironically. I know you actually picked someone you would, you know.
What?
You would actually like want to spend time with.
It's someone like, again, it's not like out of practical or even like.
But is it the obvious?
It's the obvious. I think everyone on here will guess. Like, if
it's Obama.
Yeah. Yeah. For those of you
that's why I just didn't want to be like, I didn't want you to like pick someone and it be not them.
Yeah. No. For those of you who don't know, I love Barack Obama a lot.
Shadow Barack.
I think I gave a little bit of a hard time to Rebecca.
I think a lot of people think that it's like policies and all, but I literally just like, I love his book, The Promised Land, a lot. And a lot of his speeches are really amazing. So I'm very inspired by him as a, I mean, I policy think, was like aside, like I'm inspired by him as a person, even more than just like the politics of it as a whole.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a person you look up to. I don't think it's particularly like you don't, you know, glorify everything that he does you know, make him above and beyond. He's still a person. He's definitely still a person in Rebecca's book. Yeah. But I definitely give Rebecca a lot of
hate for glorifying him. But like I don't think like, you know.
But it's honestly just all a joke. So if you ever see us joking about Obama, it's all in love.
Questions. Sorry, now that I'm on my phone, I have to navigate this. Okay. Ooh, I like this one. What is your favorite memory with your co-executive?
I don't even remember my answer.
I don't think
wait, let me look it up because there's so many.
I think I might have to look at mine. Actually, you know what? I'm just gonna use one of my answers and I know exactly which one it is. And we literally just we talked about it on this podcast.
Do y'all have the same answer? Let me go look.
No, I don't, it's not the same.
I don't think it's so. There's no way.
We didn't talk about it on the podcast, I can tell you that. Shoot.
Oh, we talked about it on the podcast. There's only a couple instances that we talked about of
I'm us like
on
blanking.
Like a specific moment.
I'm blanking. Either it's like you like to watch me cook food, which
no, I actually didn't put that down, but is that is a very much enjoyable for me.
Do you like the times in between meetings?
No.
We spend every waking moment together. Or if I'm not with her, I'm thinking about the times I'm going to be spending with Catherine. So like I don't know.
Obsessed much? No, I'm kidding.
A little bit.
Obsessed? Bad behavior.
No, it's the FaceTime we had on Christmas Eve for the book.
Oh, okay. Okay, mine is a little bit more general. We haven't had one recently. Just because we've just been super busy.
Oh gosh, but it's something we haven't had recently.
I mean, Christmas was a long time ago too. We would never like say, okay, we're doing this now. Like it wasn't like a set, like this is like, it would just happen. Or we wouldn't call because it was so.
Interviews.
No.
I love
interviews, but that was not what I was.
I don't know if I'll guess it. I think you might have to tell me.
Our podcast debriefs.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Not from filming, but we, like NPR, Hot Mics from Left to Right, a bunch of you guys too.
We would do those in between meetings.
They were like
a lot of the time. We would be like, oh my god, I listened to Hot Mics. Have you?
Yeah, and we would just break them down, especially like if there was something. Obviously, especially during like the whole Joe Biden.
Yeah, I definitely think during the switch
there was a lot
in the
more.
White House, as well as I think during the first couple months.
Yeah,
with the insurrection and everything, I think there was a lot going on. And the George Floyd case.
Honestly, there still is a lot going on right now. We're just so busy that
we haven't had a ton of time, and we've also just been reading articles, honestly, rather than listening.
I feel like we need to bring those back, though.
We definitely need to bring those back. Fun. We might have to do that. Maybe make a podcast group like we had before.
Yeah.
When I saw podcast debriefs, I thought you were talking about meetings with us, and I was flattered, but I was like, how fun are our meetings? Like, how are we in here?
They are the highlight of our month.
I look forward to them.
Let me find some more hard ones. Ooh, each other's shoe size. This one should be a quick one.
No, we know this because we asked.
No, we didn't ask. You literally said.
No, I thought Catherine was asking, can you wear my shoes? And I'm like, you'll guess this. I'm a size 10, and I'm still very short.
We're almost the same height.
I'm like 5'5".
She's a size 10. My brother's like, she's a what?
9.5 to 10. And
yeah, you would be able to wear my mom's shoes.
Yeah, I know. And
my mom's tall. My mom's 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah, and I'm like over here like 5'5", with like these humongous feet.
Okay,
making my shoe size sound like I sound like Bigfoot now. I don't think my feet are like
they really don't look weird on your body, to be quite honest. Weird. Like she was like, oh my feet are bigger. I was like, honestly, like I didn't even really notice that they don't look disproportionate or anything.
They don't look disproportionate, but for people who are 5'5", it's big.
It's definitely not the norm. But she would guess mine. I'm a 7. It's
pretty normal.
Pretty normal.
I was gonna say 7'8", you know, like
Pretty normal shoe size, I think, for like 5'5" to 5'7", something like that.
I love how this has progressed into kind of I'm like acting like this is a FaceTime call now. I
love how you're this is like lying on your bed.
I'm literally like in my hotel room, like, hey guys. But
definitely making the video for sure.
I'm gonna start some beef, you know. I'm like one of those producers in the reality TV shows that start drama for reason. But what is one thing you would change about your co-executive?
We already know what we're gonna say. We both know exactly what we're gonna
mine's
say.
Mine's more joking. It's like, actually, no, it's not a joke. This is actually not a joke.
Wow.
You need to be changed ASAP.
Immediately? Right now?
Right now. I think just change it.
Just change the tip.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for me, I think you definitely said that you need to relax. You need to stop. Yeah.
I said go with the flow.
I actually literally brought my planner.
I don't know how
I have it was. Like my thing is like every like 15, like not every 15 minutes. I don't complete tasks in 15 minutes, but like I need
she to has 15 minute increments on her planner.
Yeah. No, I write them down in my planner. No planner gives you 15 minutes.
Yeah, because she's that type A.
No, so that's I think that's
you, 5 minutes. Get on my level. No, I'm kidding.
No, but since I like obviously I use like a composition book, so it's like, you know, like if I need to respond to an email, it's not gonna take me like an hour. So I just
you block emails off too, like as a time period, usually.
Actually, I do. That's true.
But anyways, yeah, we definitely knew what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I knew what you were going to say. Because you've told this to me. This isn't a secret.
This is a literal, like, every week occurrence.
This is like Rebecca just put down your pencil, stop the Google Calendar.
Oh, so this is a problem.
This is a problem.
This is a problem. This isn't out of love needs to change. This isn't like I like dislike this. Like, I definitely think that her biggest strong suit is planning things out. I don't think WIP would function without her planning things out, because I definitely, like we said, we're the polar opposites. I'm definitely more of the go with the flow kind of thing person. So I definitely don't, like, I literally like forget to schedule meetings sometimes, and I'll have to like last minute schedule.
I send out the Google Calendar.
Yeah, she's the one that sends out the Google Calendars, which I've gotten more definitely in tune with. Yeah. But I'm definitely more of the, like, I will remember what I need to remember, and I definitely like put things down sometimes. But anyways, that's kind of going into like personal, you know, preferences and whatnot.
Okay, Catherine, what do you think Rebecca would change about you?
I definitely think she would plan, like, the planning aspect. No, you wouldn't change that about me.
Honestly, I think I do it for you, so it doesn't like matter.
I think you're the planner for the both of us. You just plan, like, my life.
so that's the thing. Like, because we have a shared Google calendar, not because Catherine wants it, but because
I've been using it more than you.
Honestly, you have, but like, it's helped me schedule it because you know what you're doing. Because I
essentially use our shared Google calendar as my personal Google calendar.
Because sometimes Catherine will be like, oh, I'll just text you the day of when I'm free. And I'm like, no, you won't. You'll tell me the night before so I can put this in my calendar. And then, like, with you using your calendar, it's like kind of allowed us to set a schedule for.
Yeah, but oh gosh, I don't even know that if it's not planning, then.
You're not going to guess it. You're not going to guess it. It's something small. I don't like...
Like eating meals? That might be something.
Oh, that's something that you should change, actually.
She's like, the way you breathe.
You don't even sleep in the same room. Wow.
Oh, Catherine woke me up this morning. I was just like...
Fun fact. Yeah. But no, I don't think I'll guess it. So I think you might have to tell me.
Okay, so one, nap times. That is, you guys don't understand this problem. Because Catherine doesn't wake up to a phone call.
Thing is, because my phone is usually on silent. That's the issue. Or like on vibrate or something.
There is one time, like, oh my gosh.
How did I not guess that?
This has gotten better.
This has gotten better. Because my sleep schedule has gotten better.
Your sleep schedule has gotten better. But there was one time where it was literally just a normal day, but you were not answering me. I called you, like, no joke, like 30 to 40 times. We had like a row of not interviews.
We had a couple meetings. They weren't super important.
They weren't important at all. And I text Carwin, who also like is actually Catherine's friend. And I'm like, hey, Catherine isn't picking up. Like, do you know if she's like all right? Like, we've had a couple meetings. They're not important, but this isn't like Catherine to just like disappear off the face of the earth for a couple hours.
She literally got everyone worried,
and then her group chat went off and everyone was like I genuinely thought like something happened. Like, you weren't picking up anything. Like, Carwin didn't know.
Carwin couldn't get in contact with me.
She was like, I talked to her in the morning, and I was like, I did too. Like, what?
Yeah. And
I was very close. I just met your then boyfriend,
my literally ex-boyfriend,
you're the night before, and I was very close to texting him. I was like, where the
Carwin did.
Yeah, no, Carwin
texted my ex-boyfriend because they're mutual friends.
She was like, I'll text this. I was like, I need to know.
Yeah, she started a whole campaign of everyone being worried that I had died.
Yeah.
That was before I could drive. So honestly, the only place that I physically could be was my house. So I'm not quite sure. Unless I was kidnapped, of course.
Or even died.
But it was definitely an 8-hour increment of me just not being alive.
But this has happened on, like, it doesn't happen every week or like on, I mean, maybe every 2 months.
I'll usually try my best to put, I've been putting alarms and it's been better. And three, I have actually fixed my sleep schedule. So I haven't been napping as much.
And sometimes you'll pick up.
And like, I will sometimes pick up. Yeah.
So like it's
progressing. It's progressing. See, it's a progressive change.
My second one, I don't know how feasible this is, but time change. I think we should redesign the United States.
When you move to, like, East Biden, Coast.
If you were watching this right now, and there's a way that you can possibly put this just in the agenda.
Einstein, can we just like bend time and space to make this work?
Yeah, like, if there's any scientists up in the area, like, please make this happen.
I think this brings us to our last question. Are y'all ready? Drum roll, please. I almost left the meeting. I was drumming on me. I was about to leave. Anyways, who are your favorite podcasters?
Oh, that might be hard.
I think
Michael Barbaro.
I was thinking Alice Stewart.
Yeah,
Alice Stewart and Marie Cardona. Yeah, they definitely. I loved having them on the podcast, like having them on our podcast. Mm-hmm. They were fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. We had Politicine on here.
Oh yeah, Politicine on here. They're an iconic duo. Yeah. No, obviously we're joking. We absolutely love our co-hosts.
And Andrea's looking at us, she's like, "Are you guys serious right now?"
We definitely, definitely.
I'm literally in tears.
We definitely love our co-hosts, Donvi and Andrea. They're definitely our favorites.
Out of all of our podcast debriefs, you guys are our favorites. I think it adds to the fact that we know you. So it's like I learned something about you that I can actually discuss. Like it's not just like when I listen to like my favorite my other favorite podcast. I just know the stuff that they're sharing. This time, like, I know what you're sharing, but then I can talk to you about it and, like, actually go deeper and find, like, figure out more what you think, which is super.
And also just learning other, like, little tiny tidbits of information personal experiences or your life or, like, what's happening in your personal lives. Because obviously we don't, you know, talk every day, you know. Like, we have other things to do, unfortunately, as much as I would love to be talking with you guys 24/7. So it's just nice to actually, like, hear all of that stuff. I know, like, your backgrounds and, you know, bringing in things during interviews or conversations on the podcast. So obviously, like, love that. Love. And we're going to keep following you guys on the podcast. Yes. And always.
My heart is melting.
It's not Whip Forever, it's Whip Podcast Forever.
It's TBD forever.
TBD forever.
That looks like to be decided.
For
all of you who don't know, it's the breakdown. So that's why we're saying TBD. We know it has been decided.
It has been decided.
Oh, wait. Dombey, we just made a forever. Wait, forever.
Aww. We're gonna be the two 40-year-old ladies in our own living rooms when we're older, just recording podcasts. Still.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be us.
And I think you guys might be the 10th episode. We told Smarika that she was the 10th episode, but the issue was we skipped a number when we were uploading. So technically the number for Smarika is 10 and this one will be 11, but it's actually the 10th because we skipped a number. So I guess we have two honorary 10th episode positions. So we hit double digits.
It's all right. Ooh, we have double digits. We're also double digits in the magazine too. I think it's definitely an era for Whip. But yeah, I think, does that wrap up the podcast? Oh my gosh.
I think it does.
Welcome. Thank you so much. Welcome. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to our personal FaceTime call. It was definitely a blast, and I think we definitely enjoyed it. I think we enjoyed just being in the same space and being able to talk.
I know. This is our first Zoom meeting with, like, being in the same. It's so weird, because I'm trying to, like, sit on the side. I'm like, wait, it looks like I don't like
it. No, it's honestly kind of comfortable. I do this all the time in the meetings.
I know, but it's different when there's someone there, because it's like, I don't want to get cooties. That's, yeah.
No. Y'all heard it here first, folks. We have a Zoom exclusive.
No personal touch.
No personal touch. They set up like a barrier, like a wall.
We kind of do because it's like two chairs.
Yeah,
I'm on this chair and she's on that chair.
Didn't even want our chairs to touch.
Yeah, germs.
That's honestly a miracle. But anyways.
A miracle?
Well, it's not a miracle, but it's like, we're in such a tight space that I don't even know how they're not touching, honestly. But But anyways, yeah, sorry. Very unneeded information for everyone listening.
That's cool. I think from now on, we're just going to start filming all of our, like, FaceTime calls and meetings and just uploading them to the podcast.
I think you guys
would enjoy them.
Other than, you know, the business talk, I think
they would enjoy the business talk. A little bit of
Because even when we have business meetings, we just end up, like, having fun.
Yeah. As Andrea likes to call them, they're our pregame.
Girl, we have pre-game meetings, we have post-game meetings, we have SAT parties.
If this is no reason to join Whip, I don't know what is.
We have fun
at work. That's the most important part.
Work is fun.
Your interview will be fun. I guarantee that much.
We have a blast with her. I feel like our interviews, and we also love to we literally go overtime with our interviews so much.
No, we're like they're 15 minutes, but we have conversations. Like, I mean, obviously it's not this chill, but like we have conversations with our
Yeah, people. We definitely love talking to people, even if they don't
end up
they don't end up coming onto the team for different reasons. It's honestly so cool to see people that just applied and were interested in working for us.
Different parts of the world,
country. Different parts of the world, country, time zones.
That's a given. With
that. That's a given, but I think it's an important aspect for you.
Oh yeah, obviously it's an important. If everyone could just function on PST time, that would be ideal.
Yeah, Rebecca, I think we should end with this final phrase to I think everyone should know this about Rebecca. So Rebecca and I say the weirdest stuff on FaceTime calls and stuff and like conversations and meetings and whatnot because, you know, we're either tired or we're just bored or we're making jokes or something. And we've created a shared notes thing. I don't even know what that's called. A shared note. And we have all like our like phrases and we go back to them a lot. But one of my favorites, I think, and most honorable mention, I think, is about time zones.
You said, and I quote,
PST time is the BEST time. And I think that just sums up Rebecca's stance on time zone.
When I run in California, that will be my campaign tagline.
I think you guys heard it first.
We have our women of the day. We need to do that. But we're not, you guys don't get to pick because I'm picking our woman of the day to induct into the Bad Bitch Hall of Fame. And it's going to be you two.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm honored we're staying right next to, who did you have? You had Ida B. Wells up there, right?
And Ida B. Wells, Victoria Woodhull. Oh. Now we have Nadia. And, who was the other person that Smedica inducted? Go watch our other episode. It'll be uploaded before this one. Go watch your episode about menstrual activism with Smedica Nepal and see.
I'm honored to be standing next to these people.
Yeah. More than honored. I literally don't know what word to use.
Humbled?
No, humbled. we're definitely humble.
I mean, no, like, no, not humble. That was the wrong word.
How are we humbled?
I'm the most humble person there is.
I don't even know. I mean, honored is definitely the best phrase, but I definitely think that like those people are way more accomplished
than honored times three.
But I think honored times like a million because those women are so influential and
just, I'm like, we're saying like the I'm like, obviously Nadia and Smetica, I haven't yet watched the episode yet, but I've heard great things about them and I've seen them on Instagram quite often.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And they're doing amazing things right now as well. But being with Ida B. Wells and Victoria Woodhull as well, like four amazing people.
I know.
Crazy talk.
But I think that concludes our interesting podcast.
It does.
We concluded it like 5 minutes ago and we're just like, stuff about EST and now Women of the Day. Our audience, it just got whiplash from how fast we're like, talking it up. They're like, what's going on?
I think you guys should close off though.
Okay. Peace.
Is that all we're doing?
She's just kidding. Thank you so much for watching this episode. We really appreciate Catherine and Rebecca. You know, we like to think that they came here, Rebecca came all the way to the East Coast just for this podcast. Of course, that's how it works. Thank you to them for joining on their vacation, taking their own time out. Thank you to you guys for watching. Go check out our other episodes. And we'll see you next time. Bye guys. We love you.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And thanks for watching, everyone.